I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. Migrant children crying after being separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border earlier this year. It became one of the defining sounds of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy. Starting in April, the zero-tolerance policy led to more than 2,600 children being separated from their parents and sparked widespread criticism. In response, President Trump signed an executive order ending family separation at the border in late June.
It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border, but we're going to keep the families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
A week later, a federal judge ordered all families who had been separated to be reunited. But there was an exemption in the judge's ruling. And because of that loophole, months after the administration claimed to stop the practice, families are still being torn apart. I'm joined now by Ginger Thompson, senior reporter with ProPublica. Ginger was the reporter who first gained access to the detained children we just heard at the top. And this week, she broke the news that families are still being separated at the border. Ginger, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Tanzina.
So what exactly is the exemption from the federal judge's ruling that's allowing families to continue to be separated?
So basically, the judge in the Missel ruling put an exemption in the ruling that allowed authorities to continue separating children in the cases where they believe that the child was at risk, or that their parent threatened the child's safety in some way.
Is this, I want to make sure that we're clear. This has nothing to do with the zero tolerance policy that we were focusing on over the summer. Is that right?
Well, that's what the administration says, yes, that these are not zero-tolerance separations, that they are separations that are being conducted according to the ruling. In fact, Customs and Border Protection pointed out to me in an email that, in fact, the ruling that ended zero-tolerance explicitly allows separations in these kinds of cases.
How many children have continued to be separated from their parents at the border since Trump signed that executive order in late June?
We don't know. The Border Patrol declined to tell me how many separations there are. And what has immigrant attorneys and advocates concerned is that the government's not reporting these separations to anyone. And so children end up in foster care or in shelters without any information accompanying them that indicates that they had been separated from parents at the border. So the child that I wrote about, for example, landed in New York. He's a 4-year-old child. There were no documents with him that indicated that he had been separated from his father and that his father was still in detention in South Texas. And so the concern is that these may not be zero-tolerance separations, but they're separations that are being conducted a lot like they were under the zero-tolerance program, where there were no records attaching children to the parents who had brought them here. And that lack of record-keeping puts these children at risk of being lost in the system.
Ginger, what's the criteria, if there is an established criteria, that border agents are using to determine whether or not a parent or guardian, in this case, is dangerous to a child?
Again, Tanzina, that is precisely what everyone is concerned about. We don't know what standards the Border Patrol is using to make these decisions, and this is what is so dangerous about having an immigration system where so many decisions are made in secret, right? And the system allows it, so we don't know exactly how they make these decisions and what standards they're using to make these decisions, whether they've even had any training in family welfare to make these kinds of decisions. And so in the case that I wrote about, they've claimed that this man, the father, is a gang member But they've so far provided absolutely no evidence, not to me, not to his attorney, not to the judge in an immigration court where he appeared a couple of days ago, no evidence that supports this claim that he's a gang member. And the advocates say, look, there are cases where the child's safety is at stake and where separations make sense. But they can't tell when that happens because there are no records, and there's no sort of oversight in these decisions. There's a lot weighing on them. The, you know, health and welfare of these children is at stake.
And who's paying for this?
Taxpayers are paying for this, and it's an incredibly expensive undertaking, the holding of these children just in Tornillo, which is a detention facility near El Paso, Texas, one of the largest detention facilities in the country, has more than 1,500 kids, I believe, minors, could cost by the end of the year more than $400 million for holding these children. So it's an extraordinary expense.
And do we know how taxpayers feel about this? Are they aware of the amount of money that's being put towards this?
It's unclear to me, Tanzina. I can't say that I have a good grasp of, you know, how the taxpayers feel. I feel that the country overall is very divided about this program, about how to handle children. Just after the publication of my story, you know, I've had people tweet at me that, you know, this is the parents' fault, that the parents who are bringing these children are responsible for how they're treated by the immigration system and how their children are treated by the immigration system. And I have, you know, many people who are upset and disturbed that the United States would treat immigrant children this way. So just, you know, the feedback that I get from these kinds of stories suggests to me that the country is divided over this.
It's interesting. As we're talking, I'm thinking about, on the one hand, the secrecy of these decisions, the safety of these children seems to be at the very top of, or at least appears to be at least at the top of the list here. However, I think about the images just from this week of tear gas and children being tear gassed at the border and the current administration's policies limiting asylum and who can claim it. So it feels like I'm having trouble reconciling this idea that the Border Protection wants to protect children on the one hand and on the other hand isn't really allowing for that to happen.
I think what this administration is showing with these kinds of policies and with these kinds of decisions is that its priority is sending signals to parents about the challenges they'll face if they want to try to seek asylum in this country, and that the health and welfare of these children seems to be a secondary matter to them.
Ginger Thompson is a senior reporter with ProPublica. Ginger, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.